You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi.
And I'm Katie Frankowitz. Astoria City Councilor Andy Davis has announced he's making a bid for mayor. He began the filing process on Friday and turned in his signatures yesterday. His entry potentially brings the total number of people in the running for the position up to 4. Davis is a research analyst for the Oregon Health Department and has represented Astoria's Ward 1 since he was elected to the seat in 2022. He told KMUN he is running because he believes in the work the current city council and city administration has been working toward. He says he wants to be part of the effort to get several initiatives across the finish line, including 130 units of workforce and market-rate housing that are in process, major development code revisions, and an update to the comprehensive plan, and ongoing economic development partnerships. He says he would like to push for changes in how the city council interacts with the community, specifically how it approaches decision-making and takes public comment, and the way it gets feedback from the public. In November, Davis is expected to face mayoral contenders, combat veteran Sean Davis, former Astoria City Councilor Tom Brownson, and Laura Parker, a juvenile probation counselor. Candidate filing closes today.
Astoria's newest affordable apartment building is open and fully occupied. Owens 2 opened last week, intended for low-income seniors and people with disabilities. The 50-unit building is operated by Northwest Oregon Housing Authority. The almost $27 million project broke ground in March last year and was completed this April. At the grand opening last week, Astoria City Councilor Elizabeth Adams called it a historic beginning. She said housing is one of the most pressing challenges the state faces, but, quote, "Here in Astoria, we've made that a clear priority." Rent at Owens 2 are at or below 60% of the area median income. Tenants pay 30% of their income for the project-based voucher units, with the vouchers paying the rest. Other apartments are offered at rents without additional subsidy. The building includes 13 permanent supportive housing units with operating subsidies for supportive services from Oregon Housing and Community Services. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. After sitting unused for nearly 2 decades, the Beaver School in Tillamook County is beginning the process of reopening, but not as a school. South Tillamook residents gathered at the disused school last week to tell stories about the building's past and to discuss its future. Developers Kevin and Katie Schluka purchased the school property last year and plan to convert it into a mixed-use residential development, featuring 29 apartment units, a library branch, and a community gymnasium. The plan involves the construction of at least one new building. Rental rates will be determined by the amount and types of funding secured for the project, though at least 7 apartments will be affordable to residents making 60% of the area's median income or less. The project has already received a $100,000 grant from the Tillamook Multifamily Housing Production Solutions Fund and is in the process of seeking more funding. Schluka says he hopes to have residents living in the apartments by 2028. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com.
Tonight, the Astoria City Council is participating in a Conversations with Council event at Fort George's Lovell Showroom. According to City Manager Scott Spence, the event will be broken into roughly 3 parts. It will start with an informal meet and greet where people will have a chance to interact with councilors one-on-one. The second part will include a presentation on housing, and then the event will end with a question and answer session with the council. The event begins at 6 p.m. and is expected to end at 7:30. The Fort George Lovell Showroom is located at 426 14th Street in Astoria. This is local and regional news on KMUN. Top Oregon Democrats say they don't expect big changes to the state's voting procedures this year. That's despite a U.S. Supreme Court ruling allowing an executive order on mail-in voting by President Trump to proceed. Dirk Vanderhart reports.
The court's conservative majority ruled states challenging Trump's order had sued too early before they had standing in court. That doesn't mean they can't sue at all. In a statement, Secretary of State Tobias Reid, Attorney General Dan Rayfield, and Governor Tina Kotek vowed to keep fighting Trump's order in court alongside other states. And Reid, the state's top elections official, said he expects the election to proceed as usual in November as those challenges play out. Signed in March, Trump's order would impact mail voting in several ways, including giving the United States Postal Service a greater role in determining who receives ballots. It's part of a long campaign against mail voting by the president. Opponents of the order say Trump has no constitutional authority to dictate state elections policy. I'm Dirk Vanderhart, reporting.
11 people were killed in May at a paper mill in Longview, Washington. Newly released records show that work was being done on the chemical tank where the incident happened. OPB's Eric Newman reports.
Interviews from employees at the Nippon Dynawave Packaging Company describe a loud rumble on May 26th before the highly corrosive chemical called white liquor burst out of a 900,000-gallon holding tank at the facility. The Cowlitz County Sheriff's Office released the descriptions to OPB as part of a public records request. They also include descriptions that the tank was, quote, not in good working condition, and that it was slated to be replaced next year. The records include interviews with staff shortly after the tank imploded. A spokesperson for the paper mill said the company would not speculate on the cause of the accident without all the facts. Investigations from multiple agencies are ongoing. I'm Eric Newman reporting.
When Spokane residents fled wildfires on August 1st, some left behind urns containing loved ones' ashes. Now, a team of out-of-state disaster archaeologists will help recover those ashes. Volunteers from the nonprofit Alta Heritage Foundation will arrive in Spokane next week. They'll work alongside cadaver dogs to identify and remove previously cremated human remains from damaged homes. Chelsea Rose is the director of the Southern Oregon Laboratory of Anthropology. She says that if her team doesn't intervene, cleanup crews can combine cremated remains with toxic household waste.
And it gets sent to like a toxic waste dump. And that can be really an additional trauma on folks that just lost everything.
Alta has previously salvaged cremated remains from homes damaged in Oregon and California wildfires. This is their first time in Washington. Rose says they plan to train Spokane area archaeologists so there is a regional presence in the case of future wildfires. People who lost loved ones' ashes in the fires can submit a request for Alta services at altaheritagefoundation.org. Alta is spelled A-L-T-A. Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. For more local and regional news, go to kmun.org/news. American Democracy Minute is up next. You're listening to KMUN.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a 2025 Wisconsin Supreme Court race, Elon Musk gave $1 million checks to three voters, quote, in appreciation for you taking the time to vote. The Wisconsin Elections Commission found probable cause that he violated the state's election bribery statute, and it's finally being prosecuted. At the time, Wisconsin's Attorney General challenged the giveaway, but the Wisconsin Supreme Court refused the case, allowing it to stand. The Wisconsin Elections Commission investigated and found probable cause that Musk and his America PAC likely violated the state's election bribery statute. That statute says any person who induces any voter to go to or refrain from going to the polls or vote or refrain from voting is in violation. June 9th, the commission voted 5-1 to refer it for prosecution. Wisconsin Public Radio reports that August 7th, the Brown County District Attorney recused his office because of a conflict and turned the case over to La Crosse County's DA for prosecution. In the meantime, a federal case is pending for a similar ploy in the 2024 election. A Musk statement allegedly suggested the $1 million winners would be chosen at random, but recent admissions from Musk's attorneys said they were chosen for their ability to be spokespersons. A trial is scheduled for July 2027, with Musk compelled to testify. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.